Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang. We go to Mark Simon, longtime deputy and director at the Apple Daily, now closed in Hong Kong, very close to the Jimmy Lai leadership and now Jimmy Lai's fate. However, we turn immediately to the question of the journalism left practiced in Hong Kong and an unusual headline at the Voice of America in these last days. Hong Kong's journalists are, quote, endangered species. This is Voice of America. Mark, it's a puzzle that there's recognition at this time of the difficulty of journalism in a city that is crushed under the boot of the mainland authorities. So what is it that this article wants to convey, that journalism is no longer trustworthy or practiced? Apple Daily was crushed, was silenced, was removed because you were doing journalism. What's left? Good evening to you, Mark.
Good evening. There's really, journalism in Hong Kong is twofold. The first thing is we have a strong international journalism presence there. We have CNN, we have the New York Times, huge office for Reuters and Bloomberg. So in that sense, they are covering, I would say, the big stories in Hong Kong, but they're also covering China. So they are not covering the most important thing for the Hong Kong people, which would be the local Hong Kong happenings. Look, national security law, the national security law of Hong Kong, makes any type of journalism incredibly difficult because there are so many unknowns with the law. The second part of it is there are, other than one or two small players, there are no independent media organizations left for Chinese language, especially none for Chinese language at all. They are all owned by pro-Beijing tycoons or China-based corporations, such as Alibaba owning the South China Morning Post. So there is no reward for the owners of journalism outlets to basically cause any trouble. Hence, what you get is this bizarre reverse order where essentially if it's reported, if the area is being covered by the international press, the local press will come in. There's still a bit of small social media journalism going on, but that's being crushed quickly. Look, all they have to do is point the guns of the national security law out at you and you're out. For the simple reason, you've got to hire lawyers, you've got to worry about going to jail. So it's slowly ratcheting down. In other words, they took out Apple Daily, huge slice. Then they took out two other small outfits that were doing China, that were doing good journalism. There's nobody really left. There's a small English language outfit called the Hong Kong Free Press. They're trying desperately, but even they are having to couch their message. So there's no local journalism of any significance left in Hong Kong other than people going up on Facebook or Twitter.
Gordon, you have a question for Mark.
Mark, clearly political reporting is censored. And as you mentioned, the space for political reporting is shrinking very fast. Hong Kong is supposed to be an international financial center. And financial centers run on information. Do you think that Beijing is going to use the national security law to start going after financial information, considering how financial information is becoming politically sensitive due to the contracting Chinese economy?
Oh, absolutely. Gordon, look, the three of us know, and the world knows, and the financial companies know that you have to have a free flow of information to have a functioning financial market. The communists really do not believe that. They actually think, okay, we can take financial news and put it over here. But in financial news, in financial reporting, there's all types of sensitive information, particularly when you're dealing with a command-driven economy, which the Chinese economy still is. Let's face it, it's got free market characteristics, but it's still a socialist-driven economy. So almost anything you report there, for example, even if you're reporting, on example, birth rates, which is a demographic story, but that's a huge story. That becomes very problematic if you're reporting on demographics. If you're reporting on, for example, COVID and the impact of COVID, that's a financial story in its way. That becomes problematic. If you start talking about quarantines or this and that, almost anything becomes problematic when you're dealing with the national security law.
Gordon, you were going to ask about Jimmy Lai.
Now, Mark, you've worked very closely with Jimmy Lai. Jimmy Lai is now imprisoned in Hong Kong. What's the status of this?
Well, he was just in court. He's got a trial going on right now that's, basically it's a harassment trial. They're trying him and our administration manager for basically misuse of a lease. It's a fraud trial. First time in the history it's ever that what he misuse of a lease has become a fraud trial, and they're trying him in front of a national security judge. I hear from people who are observers in the courtroom, but also more importantly, unfortunately, I don't talk to the family that much anymore because I myself was part of that case. I'm wanted, so I try to stay out of it. But there are people who are in another. He seems to be in a good mood. He's still a happy warrior. He's still not giving in. And I think that basically Jimmy's just progressing along and he's moving through their system, which they're dragging their feet quite a bit. And I think it's quite obvious that they would prefer if they would not have to, pursue him in trial, they would prefer to pursue him with a guilty plea. In other words, I don't see that happening, knowing what I know about the boss. But I just think, look, Jimmy's coming up on his 75th birthday. He's in prison. He seems to be doing well from what everybody I talk to says about him. When they see him in court, he waves to people. He smiles. He talks to people. Now, the only problem is they just stretch him out quite a bit. In other words, it's for example, they're going to have closing arguments on this particular case on August 24th. In other words, they finished the actual trial about a week ago, and now they're going to wait all the way to August 24th. And his national security charges, which he's been in jail for quite a while, he may not get that until mid-2023. In other words, he may not go to trial. So the boss is Jimmy Lai is basically sitting there. And he knew when he went in, this was going to happen. I mean, he's not happy about it. Obviously, I know him. I mean, I spoke to him maybe a couple of dozen times, trying to encourage him, to get out. And he made the conscious decision to stay.
Mark, quickly, there were other journalists at Apple Daily who were persecuted. Are they also in jail awaiting trial?
They're all in jail. The indication is that most of them are just going to try to plead guilty to get out. Get a reduced sentence. The problem you have is nobody is being found innocent. The national security law is pretty all encompassing. Look, it's a law that was basically written by Beijing. So guess what? You're guilty if you're guilty, if they say you are. So they're still in jail. A lot of the majority of the dissidents are still in jail. There's 1,000 political prisoners here. And the thing you have to ask yourself, can you be an international financial center with 1,000 political prisoners in a place the size of Hong Kong? And that's going to be really, they're going to try, but I wonder if the world's going to tolerate that.
Gordon, 30 seconds, a quick question.
Mark, when you have 1,000 political prisoners, basically what you're saying to bankers is that don't cross Beijing. So it would seem to me that this is Hong Kong is over as a international financial center.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody has a public relations department. Everybody has spin. Everybody will try to say this and say that. But it's going to get harder and harder to convince the world that you should do business in a place where, quite frankly, you're not really sure what's going to happen if you upset the wrong person, if you write the wrong report, if you say the wrong thing in public. I mean, let's be honest. Jamie Dimon went there from J.P. Morgan recently, made a joke about the Communist Party in Hong Kong, and then had to come back and basically kowtow from New York, shining shoes. So if Jamie Dimon's going to have to do that, what's the average banking analyst going to have to do to keep his? It's not going to be. It's just not going to happen. Will they have a stock market? Yes, they'll have a stock market forever. Will they have other things? Yes, they'll have it forever. And here's the one point I'd like to make.
Mark, quickly, Mark, please.
I think Xi Jinping is just fine with that. I think Xi Jinping doesn't want to be an international financial center for Hong Kong. I think he wants it to be a Chinese and Asian financial center. And he's perfectly happy with the international companies not being there.
Mark Simon, longtime deputy and director at Jimmy Lai's now closed Apple Daily. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.